All right. So today we're meeting here for WLS. Okay, I have a lot of questions here today and all these things that we can discuss. I'm just going to pull everything up here, I think, so because there are different things that came up. I hope I can find it all. All right. So let's wait until everybody comes on. Namaste. And maybe we're just going to go right into conversation today, and we'll just sit a little bit later in silence. So there are a few questions, hello, good morning, hi. Is that there was a question about Taurus, and the Taurus field. We have a question about the crystalline grid. And there was another question. Oh, yeah, by Christine. Christine, you talked about more about what I mentioned in one of the other calls regarding religions. And so let's go into all of that. So the Taurus field is an electromagnetic polarized movement of energy, you could say. It's where the electricity and the magnetism of your field is basically playing itself out and is the manifestation of this duality that we're in. And the yin-yang, the man, female, and so forth, and that push-pull, right? And which creates this beautiful sense of relationship that we can have, and with its, all its ups and downs. And so how does the Taurus field relate to enlightenment? It relates directly to the heart chakra. It relates to the fact that we have to take it on the nose and keep smiling. We have to face the different push-pull energies, and we have to allow ourselves to not react, keep the heart open, and then this Taurus field will literally begin to balance out more and more and more, become more smooth, you could say, and even and harmonious, and that will then manifest in a sense of harmony and love. Cohesiveness is another word for that. So that's basically one level of experience or one level of how consciousness is functioning. But we have so many different dimensions, just like we have feet. We have organs, we have hormones, we have glands, we have tendons and so forth. We are made out of different dimensions. Energetically, we have another dimension, which is the crystalline grid. And I think, let me see if I can find the exact question here, but I just saw it from, where was it, from Mariana this morning. Oh, there it is. Talk about the new crystalline grid that you keep referring to, so I've correctly placed it in my understanding. Okay, just a general question about it. Well, there are different levels, as I said, of our existence, and the Earth has basically also different levels of consciousness, and one, everything already exists right now, right here, right? The enlightenment is already here, and the fifth dimension of consciousness is already here. We just have to make it real. And so this grid is a multidimensional grid of and more of an advanced consciousness, which in which we all experience ourselves as connected. See, in the third dimensional consciousness, we are separate forms, and so the experience is that we're all separate. And that's good because, you know, I don't want to merge with my table and my chair. I want to be separate. I want to have a relationship with these things. And I learned as I grew up as a child to know that a chair is for sitting and a table is where I can put my plate on and my writing stuff. So it is a beautiful when we have a proper understanding of these different levels of reality. So when we come into now come to a place where we are able to go beyond this having to learn about the forms, we're now able to come together and allow the forms to be what they are. Yeah, we're all very different. And at the same time, know that we're all interconnected and that we can actually impart information to each other via this etheric network. It's almost like our 108 nadis. Think of it as like a highways of energy flowing through our body. So we have, there's another, you know, dimension that the earth has. The earth does not just have rivers, you know. The earth also has another flow grid where information flows and holds things together, but actually imparts information. So we can simultaneously know about something that happens somewhere else. So there's an element of telepathy to that. So it's a geometrical structure, and it just is, it when it got anchored, when we basically became conscious of it and anchored, and the earth became conscious of it, we can say it anchored it in. And so it helps us, because we have a physical body, to also become more multidimensional and to become more and more able to function in that way. What else can I say about that? Also, it has. I think of the internet. You know, there's always a reference, or an above and below. We have the internet, and first we had cables, right, in the beginning, and modems and all this, and then we had, and then we basically had wire free. So we have cell phones as well. So we've learned that instantaneously information is being imparted to others, and also downloaded without us having cables or physical tunnel where things go through. And so we are able to now download from within each other information and be linked up. But we also are able to download from outer space, you could say, or from the other galactic levels, or you can see from deeper inner levels, finer, more subtler levels of consciousness that also download into that. And you've experiences, you do this all the time when you listen to MP3s and all that. So it's basically that's the best way I can describe it. And anything else that comes to me to that? No, maybe just, so we basically have the Taurus field. There was a question about that, which is much more tangible. It's 4D really. And then we have the crystalline grid that is a 5D, a structure. And then as we basically go up to 6D, we're going to have life structures that are, not that the 5D crystalline grid is not a life structure, but it's crystalline, you could say. It has a different frequency that, yes, runs codes of light, but when you come into the, when you go up, it becomes less and less form. There's less and less form to it. And we just have to basically learn these things. It's just like riding a bike. First you have training wheels, and then maybe your parent, you know, helps you and holds the back, and then you at some point the parent lets go, and then you're just free, right? You're just holding that balance and you're having an experience. Let me know if you have any more comments or questions to that. Christina mentioned something about the religious aspect. And yes, that is something that is, I think most of us have experienced, if you've been Catholic in the upbringing, have experienced this sense of punishment and fear, because it's kind of wired into that. But then there was a question about that you need to reinvent your relationship with God. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. When you let go of something, it's like letting go of furniture. You have to kind of bring new furniture in, right? It's like we let go of something and then we move on. And I think that was a question regarding honoring his son. Okay. That's kind of easy, because we're all sons and daughters of the one. So you can start with honoring yourself. And because, in fact, we can't really love anything and have a relationship with anything if we don't have it with ourselves. And So the whole story that's coated around what I mentioned, the death and the crucifixion and the sacrifice, and it's really, as I said, these stories came from the Zoroastrian background. Also you have it with Osiris in Egypt, as probably many of you know. And it continued also then in the pagan times before even the whole Christ story came up, where the kings actually were married to the land, and the true kings. We're talking about the parasites, the controllers, the true kings, and they basically had the burden to make sure that their people and the land was fruitful. And if the land was really, wasn't, let's say, a bad harvest or something, the people would starve, the king was sacrificed, and he was cut up pretty much and put into all the parts of the land and was dug into the fields, and it was a sacrifice. So if you go back in our history, is that everything, it's what we do with money right now. You give me this and I give you that. Duality requires an exchange. And this concept of exchanging something also appeared again in duality. It's that God has to be murdered in order for everybody else to be happy. Well, and you kind of think about that, you can see this is a natural story that evolves. So what did really happen, who is really Yeshua, is something I would say find out for yourself, discover. If you may have had visitation with him, talk to him directly, find out in your own heart what really goes on. And because we do know that everything we know about this story comes from the controllers, and a lot of what's written in the Bible is false. So, and is also copied from the books that existed before. So now here we are, we're in a time, and it makes total sense. We all have to go there because, not just moving into 5D, the whole world has to face this kind of dilemma to actually figure out what really happened. But for people that want to enlighten you in WS and really be free, you let go of everything. It doesn't really matter. You're here, you're present, and you have a relationship with life right in front of you, because God is everything, right? Everything's God. Life, your breath, your nearness. And try first to actually function properly with yourself and honoring yourself. From cleaning, washing, feeding yourself properly, honoring your nature, honoring and, you know, being in proper balance and relationship with everything around you and within you, and then you will have this evolution of spirit inside you that is experiencing true devotion. The heart really opens up. When the heart really opens up, you naturally find God. You naturally find truth and love and light. So it should be a natural process. So I know it's kind of might be a silly illustration, but it's like we're trying to do something. Well, that's what happened, and you know. In 3D, you had to know who you want to, what you want to be, you know, what kind of, I was always asked, you know, once you've done school, like, what do you want to be? What do you want to, you know, pilot, language interpreter? What do you want to do? Hairdresser, a lawyer? It's like, but we don't even know these things. Like, we see them with our eyes on the outside. We don't really understand what it's like. It's like talking about orgasms and lovemaking, but we don't. We just learn and we stumble into it at some point naturally and biologically, and we'll discover it. And so the same thing is with the most important thing in our life is like our relationship with the self, with light and love itself, with our true nature. It's not something that can be studied through the mind. It is something that evolves. So, and how do we evolve it? By doing some spiritual work that we honor anything that is out there in some way, and we kind of engage with it. Could it be mantras? It could be reading psalms. It could be whatever, and kind of investigate how does this make you feel. And some part of you always knows. I always say that if a frame is hanging crooked on the wall, you know it's crooked. You can feel it. And if I adjusted it a little bit, like little millimeters, you would tell me at some point when I asked you, is it straight now? You would say, no, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then, dang, you know exactly when it's straight. We are wired to know perfection and the truth. So wherever you go, you will be able to recognize it. Is there something off? You know, is there something off? Is that picture hanging crooked? You know, so in a Catholic church, the picture's hung pretty crooked for most of us. And the people were all like hanging pretty crooked. So we felt that, but we tried and we were programmed to say, no, it's totally perfect. It's hanging pretty straight. And so we learned to lie. We were indoctrinated into lying. And although we felt like there's just something not quite right, you know. So anyway, I'm open to discussing this more if you like, or if it's necessary, because the biggest thing is that there's fear that comes up, right? Not hanging on to an idea or religion will bring up fear, because if you don't know yourself, you will have that emptiness of not knowing yourself will be filled with fear. It's like a dark room. So you have to just face the fear. You know, you facing the fear means you bring your awareness to it, and then there's light. You bring your own light to it, and you realize there's nothing that you ever needed to be fearful of. You never needed to fill that space with anything. You didn't need to put a story in there. You know, stories are meant to trigger things. Stories are meant to initiate. They're meant to kind of spark you. It's like lighting a candle. They're not meant to be memorized and worn like a dress. Yeah. So we were taught to wear things like a dress that we didn't make ourselves. We didn't dress ourselves with that particular light. We dressed ourselves with a religious story. But you're meant to dress yourself with your own light body. You already have that. Like we talked about the crystalline grid, you're meant to activate that which is already here. And if you don't know yet, then live in this mystery. It's like one day it'll come. It's like waiting for your first period or something. It's just going to happen at some point. You just have to wait. You don't make it happen artificially. So it is much easier than we were taught it is. Okay. And here is, in fact, Christine, you got your hand up. So I'm going to unmute you. Maybe you have some more comments or questions or whatever you have to what I just said. This is 9172.
Hi, Ratima.
Hey.
That was great.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great. The conversation was wonderful because it's something I've always known and yet at some point surrendered to it because, you know, just the programming. But I feel like it formed who I was because after that, and your conversation made me remember, I was the one that questioned, you know, even as a kid, as a teenager, as an older or a young adult, you know, my family referred to me as, oh, Christine will push back or, you know, and I feel that it all stems from that programming that I knew was not real. So to hear you say that was just mind blowing.
Oh, good.
it just makes so much sense, but I don't even know how to bless myself now. Like, do I say the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Like that, I'm confused by it all, but I hear what you just said to me, and it's a lot to take in, though.
You know, it is, and I'll share you what I went through back then is that I would, you know, I knew the Holy Father or Father in German, and I knew the Ave Maria in Italian, so these are the two things that I would say, and what I did at some point, I would speak them from the level of consciousness I had. It's almost like I spoke them as like I made them new. It's like I cleaned them up. But in the beginning, when I spoke the Ave Maria, I would notice that I would feel fear. So I noticed that it was filled with fear and duality. So I explored. You know, I'm a kind of a bit of a adventurer. So I explore and try to understand what is going on here. And at some point, you know, you find that you really feel into things. It's like eating a meal and you really taste the flavors. That's what I did. Taste the flavor of the words and kind of discover what is here. And you can also, you know, you can make it more pure. There might come a time where, like, I don't say these prayers anymore, where you you know, then I discovered the Aramaic prayer, and I just studied all these things. And so you have to kind of, you have to be that sovereign person to study it, whatever, you know, works for you. But on the other hand, like, if you do it like the way I did originally, long time ago, I just went right into Jnana Yoga, and I just kept myself still. I just thought, I'll just throw everything out. That's really how I started. And I always, that's my background of, like, everything I can think of, talk about, is made by something. And I needed the original, like, I needed the eternal unformed, you know.
Well, that's where I feel. I mean, this whole 2-3 years has been just me letting go of everything. And this is like, oh, my God, yet another thing, you know. And these are big things. But I'm so grateful for the guidance, honestly.
You know, thank you. You know, I can share something else about, you know, because you do Reiki, right? So
yes,
this is something that was, and I started this in 1990. So the Reiki symbols, they're, for example, in the Karuna Reiki system, which I'm also initiated in, there is the same symbol of the master symbol, the same one that exists in the Uzushiok Shigeryokbo system. Mm-hmm. It's the same symbol, but it has a totally different vibration. So I learned there are symbols have the same vibration, and also there are certain Reiki masters that have a different lineage, and so the same symbol and a different frequency. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So then I discovered that that also, you know, plus, you know, I discovered, I talked to Harry Kuboy back then in Hawaii, before when he was still alive, and I asked him, did Hawaii Takata ever teach the Master Sum? She says she never did. That was actually never, she never did. So where did that come from? Anyway, that's another whole story. So, and then I basically, now, then I, later I received the, you know, the Arabic prayer, the opening prayer in the Arabic language. There's different frequencies to that as well, because the Sufis, and I received this from a friend of mine who's a long-term Sufi for 25 years or something, she kind of sort of initiated me into it, and she comes from a Sheikh lineage where it is very, what do you call that? It's not, it's kind of very, it's very non-traditional, maybe you could say, or it doesn't have too much structure. Let's put it that way. So there, and you can, so it gives me the ability to basically get that very unformed frequency through. When you listen to, let's say, the same opening prayer, maybe by a very devout Muslim that is very in the structure, very structured, you're going to feel a little bit of structure in it. So my point is that the words and what they are, we actually can, we change them. Just the way we wear the same dress differently. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. So as I listen to them, I'll be able to connect with what feels true versus not, you know.
Exactly.
Or what does, yeah.
And you can also give it new meaning that comes directly to your, that matches your realization. Let's say Father in Heaven, what is Father for you today than it was for you when you were 16? It has a different meaning to it, especially after having been in satsang for so long. So that starts to clean that word up, you know?
No, it's so good. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
It was just, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, let me just mute you here. I have Davy is here. Hi, Davy. Are you here?
Hi, sorry, I was on mute.
You were muted, okay.
I want to share my experience last week, and then I want to sit with you. So one night I had a thought, my name is Davy. And then at that moment, it feels really weird. And I just saw that it's almost like everything just separate, the my and the name and Davy. They are not together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm not that. I don't know, does it make sense?
Yeah.
And
yeah, you basically broke a programming. You broke a program. You suddenly started to separate all these things. Just the way we initially start to separate your sense of I, we separate it into the witness and the person. you know, we separate things first. We take them apart in order to basically put them into the right places.
And then, like, the next couple of days, I just feel really grateful for nothing,
mm-hmm.
but for everything at the same time.
Yeah,
and,
you know why that is?
I just...
Because
my heart
when
is...
you... Yeah, exactly. When you come out of the program, you separate things, you let things be so that they fall into the right places, you naturally have your heart open and you're grateful. It's a natural state. So you went into a very natural state.
Okay. Yeah, that's what happened last week.
Nice. And then you were going to say something else? Is there something else about that?
No, I just want to share that experience. And other than that, the mind is pretty, I will not say empty, but it's almost like the clutter. Before I have a lot of clutter. Now the clutter is gone. And things that used to bother me, it didn't bother me that much.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you also let go of your job, and you let go of things that physically, energetically burden your body. So that will also help you to just really move forward, you know?
Yeah. And I just feel the need to always do something is not that strong right now.
Good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was sort of, yeah, compulsive. Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, just go really kind of fall deeper into it. When you notice, oh, I'm feeling just really okay, go deeper into that, deepen it. So it really gets a whole, you're repatterning yourself right now. And there will always be some moments where you feel like a little bit that old pattern comes up, but it won't be ever so strong again. You won't be lost in it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Good. All right. Thanks for sharing that, Devi. That's okay. Let's sit for a moment.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I have Louise. Hey, Louise.
Hi, Adantama. I have a few questions, and one of the ones that started from the what you shared earlier was the Taurus field.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that then correspond to, like, certain aspects of our aura? It's not the whole aura, right?
Usually when we talk about the aura, it's usually the astral field, which has all these different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you can then, because the aura has different layers to it, you could say, and like mm-hmm. we learned that the energetic layer is very small, right, around the body.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's part of the aura. So it does belong to the aura, but it's a particular dynamic of it, just the way your body has organs but also glands. It's all in the body, but there's different dimensions to it. That's the best way I can describe it.
So the Taurus then is like as big as that second layer of our aura?
No, the Taurus feels much larger. No, the second layer is much smaller. It's more the way your astral field is, the heart field.
Okay, so it's as big, so it's
yeah.
as large as your okay.
astral field, which is anchored in the heart. When you go into the higher levels, let's say your celestial body, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have an electromagnetic spin.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's way more physical, the Taurus field.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The mind kind of was like, where does that fit?
I know, but I think you have good questions because we just need to – I really love that you guys ask these questions because many people just take these things for granted, but they don't really know what all this is, right?
You invite, you know, explorers to come.
Exactly, I guess so.
And then this question is kind of related, or there's an aspect that was really helpful from also what you were speaking of earlier. But I was, I don't know, I guess just kind of, you know, contemplating, you know, what it really means moving to 5D, right, as a collective consciousness or mm-hmm. the earth or exactly what's happening, right, that's still not, you know, totally clear for me. But then I was also, right, just like as our human embodiment, we're open, right? Like we have access to all dimensions.
Yes.
So from what you were saying then, like, you know, and we're speaking about the earth moving from 3D to 5D, does the earth then also have all dimensions like us, or is its maximum 5D once it's there?
That's a good question. I would say, and I can't say this from like, oh, I really know this. I would say that what I'm getting is that everything has an Atman, right? Everything has the divine mm-hmm. spark. And mm-hmm. if you have the divine spark, you definitely carry that perfection. But like, for example, if you look at a bird or something or a dog, we do know that they don't have the same capacity to embody consciously or can start mm-hmm. talking, you know, like humans and mm-hmm. all this. So I think that the earth very likely has limitations and is not, because it is physical. Maybe it is part of the greater design that earth can become more fluid, like literally and not physical. But I think that, let me put bigger pictures. The Vedas say that 1/4 of the universe is manifest, but 3/4 is unmanifest. Mm-hmm. We're really in that really tiny section. And I think that very likely that there's always going to be this particular quarter of manifestation, because wouldn't you, if you were God, yeah, wouldn't you want to have all the experiences from,
yeah.
you know, why would you suddenly say, I'll never have this ever again? You know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. he might take a break or she might take a break, but I don't know. It's beyond my, you know.
No, that's super helpful. So then from, you know, like the evolution of consciousness, and like people, or at least some of the people I've heard, right, say that, or almost seem to insinuate that once we reach 5D, there's no more evil. And in one sense, you know, it makes sense that, right, like those beings in the lower dimension, say 4D, right, the jinns and such, wouldn't be, I don't know, maybe physically uh-huh. present or compatible on the earth, but yet we as human beings, like somebody, right, because we have access to all dimensions, could still play at those levels.
That's right. Yes, because because, you know, think of it like everything has a beginning and end, like the spring, you know, things start to just sprout. And then at the end of the spring, you know, things are much more developed, the plants and the leaves. So we're at the beginning of the Aquarian age, which will show very little of the end result. Once we get to the end result, just like spring, it flips over to summer. When we get to the end of the Aquarian age, where it's really just really pure and good, we're going to go into 6D, where it's just light. So the Aquarian age has the free will of thought, and thoughts can still create whatever they want. So I do think it's going to be a playground of learning, where humans learn, how can I create with thoughts and what are the consequences? We created with our body, right? We created skyscrapers and cars and all this. Now we're going to learn how to create with our thoughts, and there will be lots of things that we won't like artificial intelligence. We'll have it, and then we'll find out, that didn't work out, you know.
So then maybe when we're more fully 5D, so people could still write experience those lower levels, but maybe they just couldn't manifest something on the physical earth plane anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Because you need the denser elements that have the ability to create that darkness and lack of light. Yeah. It won't be exactly what we went through at all. And the reason why, and this is actually said in the Islamic teachings, that in the end times, the jinns and everything that was hidden will be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a reason why they don't use, let's say, a statue or pictures, because the fiery element of that needs to have a home. They go into people, they go into especially dogs, because they are so open. And they go into statues because they need to ground our electricity, fiery electricity, and they ground, they create this is an anger energy. So now we're at the end of the time where love is coming in. Love is now really kind of cooling off that anger and is making things that were hidden visible. So when you look at certain stars and people, you see, I saw the other day something on Facebook, a woman that did a funny, that was Whitney Houston. So there are these forces are now becoming visible. And because they're coming visible, we literally take them out of the undergrounds, out of the dumps, and they're all fleeing. And this particular experience will be gone. That electrical fire that is not in harmony with the totality.
Wow. So then even if, right, say someone was just, you know, experiencing, you know, 4D, 3D or lower, right? They're lower, so they can experience that as a human. But from what I understand, like, they may be able to experience that and it shows on their face or something, but it's visible immediately.
Yeah. It's visible, yeah. And okay. Exactly. And as we move further onwards into the Sakran age, they won't be able to sustain themselves. They will literally die or have diseases. That energy will consume the person, the host.
Okay, so we won't have all these lying politicians that sound pretty good.
Well, you know, but supposedly the whole quantum system is going to be quantum, so it can track or sense that vibration. So I, you know, hey, this is something I'll have to experience with everybody here, because it didn't work out last time in Atlantis, as far as I know. The whole thing went crashing. So this time we're going to make it work.
Oh my God, I love it. And if I can just add, so one more thing. Mm-hmm. So normally, wherever my attention is, and I know you did that beautiful exercise with us at one of the retreats where you helped us to experience the different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So the vast majority of the time, like if I'm aware of something, it's like barely, like something happening, right? Light shifting, something's being transformed, but I really don't even need to focus attention on it. But then sometimes, like last night, I had this experience where, you know, it felt like my attention awareness was like just down at this lower level, right? And it was a battle of whatever, you know, light and dark with a more formed being. So is that just, I mean, I know, right, that it's just the play of experience, but is there also, like, something that, is there something, right, rising from the body that, like, causes the attention to move down there, or that it has to move down there in order to deal with whatever's there? Do you know what I mean?
I hope I understand. I think that your attention is everywhere because your presence is everywhere, and you're just becoming suddenly aware of that lower part, that there's some movement of energy
mm-hmm.
going on that's reconciling. You're not really moving there. You are everywhere all the time.
Thank you. That was very helpful. So then that, I guess that's my question then. So is it because attention has to be more directly on something that how can I say? That becomes more of an experience where otherwise it might have just been, you know what I mean, I'm going through my day and, you know, I'm aware of a different, you know, different things shifting or light moving or whatever. But
yeah.
In that moment, right, like even sometimes, right, like if it's that much, like I might just choose to sit and it's
yeah.
like a battle or whatever that happens.
Yes. Exactly. And the reason why it feels like that and you have to sit is because your Taurus feels, let's bring that back in, it's literally starting to move and starting to recalibrate something. And there's all this movement and reshifting around to find a new balance. And in that moment, when it is a lot, especially when the lower chakras are involved, especially the
mm-hmm.
base chakra, you won't be able to use your physical body as much because it's moving, it's being reconfigured. You want to give it some stillness. And then once it's done, doing things on a different level, on the heart, on the fifth level, maybe in the head or in the third chakra, you might be able to continue doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But once the lower chakras are involved, I just sometimes have to lie down because I'm so huge and it's just shifting everything around, and then bang, and I come back and I feel even taller or different.
Okay, that's awesome. And so I may experience more of that this year because this is the
yes.
year of my base chakra again.
Yeah, it's a lot of all the elements are involved. Literally all the elements. Yeah, very deeply. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. All right. So I think everybody likes to listen to this stuff. This is Katya. Are you doing better, Katya? Hey.
Yeah, I'm actually doing fine. I'm still not working, but on Tuesday I'll go back to work. So,
mm-hmm.
but my whole family got sick. So my daughter, my son, everyone, and husband.
Yeah, that's usual. In families, that's usual.
Other than that, I'm mostly feeling like that I'm just going inward on myself. So I might just sit with you.
Okay. Yeah, you feel pretty new, right? It's very still, very clear.
Yeah, I haven't been going into like complete peace for a while, so that kind of feels nice.
yeah, because these viruses up-level us, right? So that's good. Awesome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just, I guess what kind of choked me up here was when you said the virus is up level you, and I was thinking like, you know what, I haven't had it, so maybe am I not getting up leveled? You know, that thought just came in through my head.
No, but maybe you don't have to really, work it. Like if you get it, like you just flow with it, and it's always different, right? Depends what's needed.
Yeah, or maybe I already had it and I just was one of the people who just didn't know, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah,
but,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you don't even... So did I get up-leveled then, or...?
Well, if if you had it, a lot of people had it and they didn't really notice much, then you really received...
Uh-huh.
Your body understood the encounter. Your immune system knew how to respond. and or it just didn't engage with it because it was so peaceful and says, I'm not going to engage with it. Who cares? There was nothing to learn for you, you know. That's the way I understand it.
Okay. Then the other thing I was that's been on my mind, and I was thinking about, yeah, the people who have had the vaccination have been altered, but hasn't our DNA been altered if we got this virus?
No, because this is the virus itself doesn't have an mRNA technology. It just has a SARS coronavirus with spike proteins attached to it. So it is artificially created, but it doesn't have an artificial intelligence, like a computer intelligence that keeps giving instructions to your RNA to change your DNA. It's not in there, so that won't happen. Only people who receive the vaccine directly with that content will have their DNA changed.
Okay. And just one comment, and that was like the religion, you know, goes back to, I was thinking of here this morning, listening to the folk talk about the Catholic religion, but then, you know, our culture really, you know, they believed in a higher power, but, you know, when the religious people came into being, you know, they kind of shunned them and made them feel less than, and, you know, whatever they wrote about our culture was not good. So now it's like, oh gosh, maybe we need to go back to the other. And
well, yeah, go ahead.
And maybe there's a balance between the both. It's just kind of weird.
Well, you know, it is, but I can see some things to it because, you know, Jason is over 70% Native. I mean, he looks, in fact, we had Blackfoot Indian past lives even. Things were coming through. I was just channeling the other day. So, and he is very, you know, they came to Newfoundland, the Catholics, really like 400 years ago, a long time ago. So I don't know when it happened to your people, like in Alaska, it might have been later. But so, yes, and, you know, Jason always had this, he just rejected right in the beginning, and his whole way of being is what, that's why a lot of people don't like him, like a lot of so-called white Canadians, because he's actually really Native in his behavior. And it would take a long time to describe what that really means, but I would suggest, you know, go really into your own DNA, trust what's very deep inside, because it's more real. One of the reasons why the controllers, these parasites, try to get rid of the natives is I was told that the natives actually, they came mainly and have a connection to the planet Sirius, the dog star, and they actually, and that planet is basically, many seed stars come from that, star seeds come from Sirius as awakeners. So the native people carry inside of them knowledge and truth on their DNA level of what really happened on this planet, especially these North American natives. And that's why they got rid of them. That's why they had to come and just tell you right away about Jesus and kill everybody. So you have to know that you carry that inside of your DNA. You go in there and your true religion is wired in the truth of our earth, what happens, what is really going on. That's all inside you. So I really invite you to go there. I mean, you carry it within your blood.
Yeah. No, it actually happened. The religious folks really did a number on my parents' generation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I can still see the behavior and the damage and all this in Jason's parents. They weren't directly affected, but they were the descendants. And there's just strange stuff going on. Like, anyway, so yeah. But yeah, so anyway, so yeah, just always. But nonetheless, you know that you are alive and that you're breathing and that there's peace. Come to your own peace and come to here in this moment and. God is everywhere, and just have that communication and a relationship with here and now and in the sun, in everything, you know.
Well, speaking of communication, because, you know, the religious folks didn't believe that the Tlingit language wasn't really, it was whatever, it was less than. So they had, you know, my parents, you know, they actually tortured them not to speak the language. So do you think that I would have to go back to the language then, or just begin where I am with just regular English?
Just start with what you can, like, well, you know, just in your heart, in your DNA, that your DNA is your very first language that's within your body. And then you can go, if you still have music and songs that have survived, listen to the sound, because sound is the language of the soul. The music and the dances and the movement, actually, if you have still dances that exist, they also just feeling them and doing them, they will awaken more of that memory in your DNA. And then at the last resort, if you're really interested, you can kind of learn a little bit of that language. But it is not ultimate. It's not necessary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. This is Reem. Hey, Reem.
Hi, Aratima. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this call. I'm in awe of how you were able to, you know, give us the explanation about, you know, structured religion. You've been saying this for a long time, but it's not easy to explain. So I appreciate how you, you know, how the message is getting through in different ways. And thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I don't have a question. I just want to sit with you. I want you to check on me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, let's do that. There you go. Good.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. Next person is Mariana. Hey, Mariana.
Good morning. I heard you say my name just before you did. Thank you for the beautiful call. About the crystalline structure, what I was feeling before I ask the question, just trying to put it into words, is it feels to me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, absolutely, it feels to me in what I see is that when I see light, like I can see just pure divine white light, or I can see colors, you know, but when I can see gold, like it brings a whole new meaning to the word pointillism, right? When they were painting with light on painting, like I understand that now. But what I'm trying to say is, when I see light and it's just gold and it's just like millions of tiny little golden globules of light, it feels like that is the crystalline structure. Yeah.
Is it a question? I mean, if that's your experience, then that's your experience, yes.
Well, to me,
it looks more like white, not golden. But, but that's just everybody probably sees things differently. That's totally fine.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to express is I see light, a lot of the time I see light as gold, as tiny little dots of gold. And the dots can be bigger, like they can be, you know, quite globular and heavy and big. But I was feeling that related to the crystalline structure in the earth as points of light, like crystalline points of light. And these crystalline points of light is like infused with the 5D consciousness.
Okay. That's beautiful. If this is how you see it and that's what you know to be true, then that's your way of referencing. Because let me just say this, everything is made up. It's all a story. It's illusion, right? Yeah. So we always have working models. We see something a certain way, like the, when you were born as a baby, you couldn't see your mother clearly, the face. And then uh-huh. later you saw the face. So everything is shifting our perspective. So whatever is your place of reference, that is the field, then that's the way, then that's what it is. And it might change, it might not. Doesn't matter.
Yes, because I felt that it sort of dropped, just landed into my awareness, my consciousness yesterday, and I felt that all these points of light are points of information, you know, like they're mini Atmans, like you were saying, like the cells in our body, you know, it's like crystalline points of light. And so it's like highways of information, just like the same as our body or the same as what you were saying in the structure. And right. and it's all interrelated, it's all interconnected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's mm-hmm. like the whole cosmos, like the stars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly, that's beautifully described. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Thank mm-hmm. you. And I don't know, I've gone blank. I was going to say something, but I've gone blank. May that's I just...
Good, let's just sit.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, thanks, Mariana.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Danica. Hey, Danica. Hey.
Hi. Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about this before in this call, but I just wanted to know, as from the Renaissance call, the first call that we did and going into the Taurus field, and how that relates to flinging yourself into these different rings of awareness.
Ah, okay, that's a different thing. Yeah, that's a different thing, because a ring of awareness has something to do with your identity. Although this looks round, the Taurus, and you think, oh wow, this has levels and layers, maybe that's the same, but no, that's the design of your physical form and all the subtle parts of it. A ring of awareness is that your identity that you identify yourself with right now. You right now live in this ring of awareness, manifest as being a mom, doing this and this and all that, and all this self-referencing that goes on, that everything. But you can actually, you probably have experienced somewhere in your life you were in a very different ring of awareness, and then you open and you shift into a new one, right? You've had that, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's the reason I ask is that when we did that call, so I was also sick, and I was going through such a density with my body, like nothing was functioning properly. Mm-hmm. And then we did that call, and it shifted slightly, but it was more dense. And I thought, okay, this is really difficult. So I listened to the call mm-hmm. again, and something I guess shifted. I guess at the same time, because when I came out or came back to myself again, I'm somewhere different.
Yeah,
it's not as dense, it's not as heavy, and I just wonder if the two are connected or if they were separate.
There are the listening to the call and then over and over again, and that you shifted. Yeah, that's connected, because I know that's the whole point of that package. It's supposed to rebirth you, and that's what happened. When we rebirth ourselves, we're actually shifting from one ring of awareness into another. And the reason why we use the word ring of awareness, because time and space, it can only happen in time and space, and time and space is like a ring. It's not a line. It's not starting anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's one circle. And when we open this up, it becomes a spiral, right? So a healthy mm-hmm. person has an open ring of awareness that spirals all the time. But most of people that don't know where to spiral to, and they open the ring, they will go crazy because they have nowhere else to go to. So having a closed ring awareness is better, being stuck, than having no proper guidance into the spiritual realms that can be, you know, especially back then in 3D, it was almost challenging, you know. Look, I don't know if I've ever shared this, you know, I received freedom, and my brother, I have a half brother, he has very severe schizophrenia. So you can see that he basically never sorted himself out. His consciousness is very fragile, and it's like lost in out there, like really severely. And I'm totally free because I have my awareness is grounded and collected and very, very organized within the nature of this perfect harmony, universe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. May I sit with you for a moment?
Yeah. Okay. So you're still growing into this new consciousness. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that, right? And as you can grow into it, you're going to enjoy it and all this. And then you're going to come to naturally a place where you feel like you're outgrowing it. And then you get come to another transition. And these transitions, we call them also dissolution and rebirth, right? But they can be easier or, you know, or more challenging. But you're just going into this, you're like the spring just starting to flourish in that new place. Very good.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Perfect for the season. I have Antonia here. Hi, Antonia.
Well, hello, Aratima.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I am just so in love with this phone call. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. But this is amazing. I just like to make a comment, and then I will love to share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am so glad you're bringing up the religion, mm-hmm. because that is something that I grew up back in Mexico and everything, and they mm-hmm. assume everybody everywhere that I was Catholic.
Mm.
Well, no, I was never Catholic, because once I find out how that religion started, I didn't want nothing to do with it.
Mm.
But I was still searching, because I still needed to feed my spirit. I still needed something, I don't know what it was. Moved to United States, and then very shortly after that, I was still searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I got involved with the Mormon religion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I practice it diligently. I practice it so, I mean, I was like 100% in it. And mm-hmm. I thought I was happy. And everything. And then all of a sudden, I just had way too much religion. I mean, with way too much religion. And they practiced one scripture that it got me in the church, but it also got me out of the church.
Mm.
That
mm-hmm.
one scripture, it was so amazing how God, it had me there, but then I was going to be out of there with the same scripture they were teaching. And, the man who started that religion, he was confused because he was too many religions.
Mm-hmm.
So he was reading the Bible, and he found out that it was a verse in there that it said, if any of ye lack of wisdom, let her ask of God. So he went and asked God, and then he started his own religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that scripture to me was like, I am lacking wisdom. I have way too much religion. I'm done. I wanted to throw up going back to church and practicing that religion. It was too much. So I was like, okay, I need wisdom just mm-hmm. for me. Just mm-hmm. not for, I'm not going to start another church or anything, just for me.
Yeah.
And I left. I left that church, and I felt so good, and it was so wonderful and free, and I was like, done. Why did I need a religion if I have God to give me wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need no religion. That was my freedom. But I was still not complete. I was still searching for something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it was another scripture in the Bible that it said, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
And that scripture, every time I grabbed the Bible, it was that scripture. Be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's when you come in my life.
Okay.
Wow.
That's the journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. What a freedom. And what a wisdom you have to embrace everything, and everything is so new, and everything is so beautiful. And so this morning I was going through module 6. And there, you know, it talks about finding your guru. And it's so clear to me that I don't need it. I already found it. And that's true. I don't need anything else. I am so happy and so grateful, and that's all I need is you, this group, your teaching. And I'm not searching for, and of course, I'm not searching like I was searching before, but I know it's still a lot more to learn and to grow, right?
Yeah, forever it goes like that. And the thing is that the searching is the problem, right? So once you can rest and you can just really be still, then there is God. And so that is also a function that a teacher has. So you can just literally just not have to run around all the time.
Not anymore. Done.
Yeah.
So,
well, thanks for sharing that story.
Anyway,
yeah.
I was just good.
Really scared
of that.
Yeah. Let's
And may I please share with you?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, what I suggest is for maybe a week or so, if that feels right for you, do the Jyoti expansion through your third eye, not through the heart.
Learn that again. Tell me.
Yeah. Okay, did I tell you that before?
What did I need to do?
Oh, you basically are going to do the Jyoti expansion. You put your attention on your third eye and you begin to expand what you've learned. Through the descent of the third eye. Just do for a week or so. Because you need to expand in that area right now. So usually we do it through the heart, but I want you to do it through the third eye.
Okay.
And let me know how that goes. Okay, great. Thank you, Antonia.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You. Kazri. Hey, Kazri.
Oh, hi. I'm just having a melting experience.
Yeah, I can feel that. Yes, that's good. Let's take your time.
I feel so grateful. I feel like some kind of, I don't know what it is, just this merging.
You don't have to understand. Love cannot be described. Just stay in the I don't know.
So beautiful. Like we're one.
Which is true. It is true. Mm-hmm. And just take even the we away. Take that away as well. How's that?
Yeah, more blurred, more just more of a nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's really what you are as well, right? Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you're in the place where you are, when we take the we away, the I and the you, then there is, the mind is, cannot participate, and you're becoming more what you talked about, the oneness. And so you can just be that unity consciousness, that oneness, and allow yourself to taste it more, to let your nervous system be more like that, and your mind can come in and hijack it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it doesn't understand it anyway.
No. Okay.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Beautiful. We have Wynonna here.
Hi, Aratima.
Hey.
Yes, this call is really something. Thank you. Something, I'm still working on getting clarity around it. Something tweaked inside of me when you were talking to Jennifer and then also with Danica. And when you were talking to Jennifer about, you know, exploring that native side and the earth and mm-hmm. the DNA. And there's been this experience I'm having of just kind of being nowhere lately and looking for that place to, you know, like I spoke the mind, looking for that place to ground in. And it, yeah, so there's been so much confusion in the mind, and so, which I know then is just mind, but yet there's this wanting to do, even though there's nothing to do, and there's this sense of wanting to ground into the earth and wondering if that's more 3D than 5D, or is because the earth is 5D, is, you know, like looking for rules and answers, right? But feeling in between, like in a transition time, like physically, you know, moving, but also in every area, it just feels very unfamiliar territory, I guess that's what we would say, and not,
yeah,
nothing settling in anywhere, and in the well, sense of lack of focus and, you know, all that, right?
Yeah, well, life is always familiar and unfamiliar, focused and not focused, grounded and not grounded. That's just all the polarities. And you just want to densify, and you're giving your mind your life and your and to run, and you're letting it kind of run the show a little bit. Can you hear that? Can you hear yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 I can, totally.
Yeah, but what do you really do? Like, you got up this morning, now you're on the call, and what do you want to do later? What do you want to do? How do you... Because this is just a moment, we'll never come back. So there's always another moment, and you can show up to that moment in the way that you are fully wanting to show up, with passion, with clarity, with really involvement. Like, what is it that moving through you? To do? What do you want? Are you still there?
Yes, and yes, there's this sense of what I guess I'm knowing what I don't want.
Well, that's good. That's not bad. That's a good start.
wanting the chaos. It feels like I'm in the middle of a toroidal field of chaos right now, where everything's just kind of being flung around, right?
What is your house?
In my house,
in order.
Yes, absolutely. You know, with packing and sorting and getting rid of more stuff. And
okay, that's a very difficult place to be in. I understand. So you're in a transition, and but you see, this is the time when you are going to not give your mind the addiction to be physical. And, you know, so you right now are going to just experience this chaos, because who you are is the way Antonia said, we're just still, right? There's just presence. You're present with this chaos. Your presence, the chaos doesn't matter. There'll be chaos, and then it'll be all organized. And then you create chaos again. And we do this back and forth in order to find out what is the constant in all of that, and the constant is presence. So I'm pointing you to this right now. Presence is always here. That's what you are. And you ground yourself in that. In fact, you already are that, so can't even ground into it.
So that presence then is
it's present
in all experiences, right? It is present. So no matter what I'm experiencing at that time, or like, you know, there's been a lot of old patterns that I'm just watching move through, but nothing's really moving through. I'm just being present in all that to the experience of the, whether it's the emotion or even the pattern of moving again is, you know, a pattern, right?
And it's really, you know, you can't love God and the devil at the same time. So you got to make a decision. Are you going to love presence, or are you going to love what constantly moves through your experience, your field of experience? Because it'll always be something moving through, something pleasant or unpleasant. But you never attach to any of it. Not even the pleasant shouldn't be attached to. You have to be free. You have to be always realizing that there's someone here present to this. That's you. You're actually totally uninvolved with all of it. You were never there. You were never there.
And that's where the freedom lies.
So what's happening right now?
There's just this sense of present.
There you go.
In layman's terms, like a distance between what is and what isn't, right? Like
yes. Exactly. And there's wisdom in presence as well. So it might actually to just kind of have a little corner where you have a nice blanket and you can have a nice cup of tea and find some order. It could be that wisdom, because it's love, right? The universe is love. It will also gift us with some, you know, wise actions. But to figure it out from the mind, because the mind right now is overwhelmed with too much movement, there's too much vata going on. Moving in itself is vata, right? So you have to know that this is going to be you're being taught now to get a handle on that vata, on that movement, and to find presence in it, the stillness, the calm in all that movement. And so you found that right now. Yeah.
And that's like also love, right? Like just
Exactly. So love can be here, even if it's all chaotic or not. You can love this moment in your life. I mean, you know, sometimes, let's say you're 80 years old and you think back, oh, you know, I remember, it was a sunny, nice day and I had all my things packed, and people read novels about it and find it romantic. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful moment. don't go into the mind too much, okay?
Okay, and so that would also then, and just, it relates to like my meditation experiences have been, I want to say less than fulfilling, but if I'm present, then they're nothing anyway, so then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So just keep present. Okay.
Yes. All right, I'm going to move on because I want to get through the day here.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Vainuna.
You're welcome.
So I won't be doing any sitting here except if there's nothing to talk about. This is Linda now on Vancouver Island. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Arachima. Oh, I don't know. First of all, I want to say
I
loved the MP3 of the Guru and the Idol because I had the sense, okay, what's my mantra today? And it was Om Guru Om. And I just thought, oh, my God, that is so perfect. Perfection. And so I'm so grateful for your loving attention. My question was, which involved sitting, so I don't know.
No, that's okay. If it's not a long conversation, we can sit for sure.
It's just that I'm getting over this flu thing, but I'm going, where's my vitality? Like, where is it? And then I thought, well, maybe this is a disillusionment because I have to walk slower.
Mm.
I'm not as active. I'm more here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what I thought of as lacking vitality is something else. And that's why I was wondering if I could just sit with you and maybe you could sort of point what's kind of going on or something like that.
Yeah, often vitality is when we're somewhere else in the spiritual realm and there's stuff going on with our soul, then the energy will be more there than in the physical form. So let's have a look.
Okay.
Sit here. Mm. Yeah, you have that same frequency. Katya had that a bit too, and that's that it's a tinge of fifth dimensional consciousness, and that is basically so intangible, and we're needing to have our nervous system wire or adapt to it because it's not so physical. And I actually have that in the last month as well. I have moments, it just comes periodically throughout the day. It could be just like that I'm 3 hours normal and then suddenly for half an hour I'm like, literally I just need to lie down and I'm totally light and then everything jump starts again. I think we're going through this year at this point. This is sort of what I'm noticing.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Rachma. Because an inordinate amount of sleeping too. It's like, not me.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, that is, of course, I know some people are working with my package. Are you working with my package as well?
Yes.
Then that will definitely really kind of, it gets you a sort of a jump start, you know, but it's definitely very profound. So don't worry about it. Most people fall asleep, as I just read in the healing group, you know, so.
Oh, thank you so much. Om Guru Om. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. This is 4479. Hello.
Hi, this is Anya.
Anya, hey. Okay. Hi.
I've got a question about chanting mantras.
Mm-hmm.
When we chant mantras, do we have to be concerned or worried about, I think you've said once that some planets don't like each other or deities.
Oh, I see, yes.
Mercury
and the Sun and Saturn and Mars. Yeah, no.
So like when chanting, do we have to like not chant them together or like is there something that we should say? Okay.
No, because they all exist within you anyway. These are all forces, and if I do the planetary mantras, I do them all nine at once. I just do one mala for each mala all at once, and because what you're doing is you're really bringing them into harmony with each other, you know, so don't worry about
it. Okay, and you know when I chant, like I don't know, sometimes chanting reminds me of prayer and asking for favor from that place of being less than. And you said that they are part of us. They are part of our consciousness.
Yes.
So do we approach them like equals? Like, can you just say a bit more about how we
very beautiful question. Think of the three portals inside of your head and your heart and your lower belly. So if you come from your heart, you're in a relationship with them. You just kind of honor them. You might do puja on them. You think of them. Maybe you just do a whatever. You know, you're in relation. When you are coming from your head, like, you know, you basically are one with them, right? You're just like, you know, it's just one pure, seamless existence. You're just present with them. And if you're coming from the belly point, it's almost like a tantric merging with the frequency and that particular quality. So it's really, it's a little bit like when you, let's say you're, do you do mantras before you meditate or during the day, or like when do you do them? Let's say a client hear a mantra.
Before I meditate.
Okay. Let's say you sit down and you meditate, right? And you just really kind of just, you know, think, okay, this is the mantra I want to do. This seems right. And you start chanting the mantra. I would just do the mantra. Start slowly and get a feel for it. And then let even, like, I don't even chant mantras like through my will. I let them be chanted through me. And so my consciousness puts the speed or also where they're placed within me, you know. It's like it's a very holistic experience for me when I chant mantras.
Okay.
So you understand what I mean? Explore that a bit. Maybe that'll be fun for you.
Yeah, and then when you ask them to like merge with you or help you or be present.
I don't do that. I don't talk to them.
No. All right, you just chant and feel the energy.
I'm more like an engineer in that regard. I know that Mars is very dominant right now. I think of these frequencies, extended frequency of myself, like that I need to clean or soften or smooth out or kind of heighten. Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if we think the mantra rather than express it out loud. It doesn't make a difference.
There is a difference. When you say it out loud, there's a bit more vibration on the physical level, but when you say it quietly, it's deeper in the mind, which is more powerful.
And then
there's japa, which is where you kind of say it with your, it's almost like quietly with your tongue is sort of still involved, but then you can go deeper. I see things deeper. Occasionally, I kind of do the dishes and just say something loud. You know, I usually do this when there's an energy around me, like in the village or where I live, that is just crappy. Then I kind of chant them out, chase them away.
Don't power it. Mm. Yeah. And is it like okay to also do it like in almost second awareness? Like you,
yes.
I multitask. I do something and then.
Yes, that's. Oh yeah, absolutely. That's I find the most powerful, and that's how. You know, Jason does most of the mantras, and me as well. I basically do them really deep inside. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great. You're welcome. Great questions. I have Kim here in 7789. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Ratna. I don't really have a question. I just wondered if I could sit with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I have Danielle here. Hey, Danielle.
Hi, Ratna. I just wanted to sit with you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Danielle. Thank you. And I'm going to sit with Shelley here for a moment, just without the phone. All right. Okay. Wow, it's exactly 1 o'clock. And hi, Cindy, I got your message. Namaste. Thank you. Yeah, so maybe we'll just kind of sit all together here for just a minute. We've got lots of things to talk about. That's great. Just allow yourself to be here, present, light, still, whatever that is for you right now. One thing I didn't mention in the new MP3 is that in the West, we think a guru is something that somebody gives, and it's a something, but really it is more taking away, it's a cleaning, it's a dissolving, it's a emptying out, so you uncover what you are really. So just let it all uncover, you know, what you have underneath, what you are already in the self. Shanti, Shanti. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see each other again very soon. Thank you. Namaste.
The moderator has left the conference.